Good evening, everyone. This is Professor Mayra Oyola Merced.
And this is Professor Angel Adames Corraliza.
And we're both from the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
And wow, do we have a good one for you today, Mayra. What do we have today in cooking?
Yeah, so today, while this is not science, we are going to talk about the Bad Bunny show during the Super Bowl. And more specifically, the reason why we're doing that is because A, I think culturally it is relevant. B, we are from Puerto Rico, so we were both a little excited or very excited to see some of the culture there. But also, we believe that science needs diversity. And sometimes as scientists, we're pretty horrible and terrible about
communicating,
talking
yeah.
and communicating.
Yeah, so, how important it is.
Yeah, so let's tap into the artists in communicating how important diversity can be in a different framework and then put that into what we do for a living.
Yeah, that's right. So let's start talking about like the what happened, right? Like how many views it had, what happened, right? Like I think it's the opportunity that happened, right? Like given that it was the Super Bowl halftime show, the Super Bowl is the most watched program, right? And in the U.S., you know, and the fact that we had a Puerto Rican artist headlining.
A Latino.
And the show was in Spanish is incredibly relevant, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the stats. Do you want to give it a roll at the stats?
Yeah, I mean, we're about to talk about numbers, but I'm going to start by saying this. I am not a reggaetonera. Or actually, we are from Puerto Rico, but traditionally we do not listen to reggaeton.
No, no.
But I think this is much bigger than just the music.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's actual music. It's the message.
It's the statement,
culture,
yeah.
The statement that's happening. But both of us are metalheads.
Oh yeah, 100%. So if you're a rock or metal person out there, like a high five.
Yeah, likewise, classical music for me. So I spent a lot of time visiting Overture here in Madison. But otherwise, I do appreciate the cultural aspect.
Yeah, sometimes I like retro wave and stuff, like relaxing music. But like overall, like yeah, I'm pretty intense with the music. Even when I'm coding, and writing papers, I'm still listening to pretty intense
heavy
music.
Madison, we have lots and lots of metalheads. So, but yeah, going back into the Super Bowl, we're talking about 120 million viewers in a mostly Spanish performance. We had Lady Gaga, who actually had a beautiful, she sang a really beautiful song. And I thought that was that part also was a highlight for that event. But not only that, 120 million viewers, apparently there are different sources. So one, the approximate is 120. Nielsen, I think, states 128 plus. Some people say a little bit more. I think I saw estimates of 133 million. What we do know for a fact that it's a lot, A. Yeah, and this still on the top three, four most watched halftime shows ever. And that does not include the streaming platforms. So it's just TV.
Yeah. Which is quickly becoming the dominant platform where people watch. Like I streamed.
Me too. I was actually not watching on TV. I was streaming. But if we think about that, and we put it into a context with the actual market, Latin music now covers about 25% of all U.S. streaming consumption, and the actual Spanish language music revenue has doubled in the past decade.
Yeah, and Puerto Ricans are like a big fraction of that.
Yes, reggaeton. I remember when reggaeton was conceived and born. They used to call it Mexican rap back then. But it was actually, it came from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, from Puerto Rico. Yeah.
From the barrio. So I grew up in one of those barrios. So I remember when I was a kid, when it came out and all the kids were dancing to the different versions of reggaeton. And again, I was initially not a fan.
Yeah, no, me neither.
So kids were kind of divided into two different.
You either loved it or you hated it.
Yeah, you were divided into two different groups.
Also, I used to joke to people that, that Puerto Ricans, that we're underrepresented in science, but we're overrepresented in music and like Latin American music. That was like one of the jokes. And it's like actually like more of like a nod just to like how influential we are musically.
Yes. I think right now we're taking the stage in the U.S., in the continental U.S., but if you think about the music in Latin America, you can think about many bands, salsa, merengue, many of the bachata, major singers actually came out from Puerto Rico and composers. And so, yeah, Puerto Rico is a very musical place. I actually grew up listening to all this music. I grew up actually learning how to play this music as a kid. So that obviously comes out and now it has manifested in other ways, right? Because if you didn't know a lot of the songs that were played during the Super Bowl, that are actually now identified as Bad Bunny songs, a lot of them are actually, from,
yeah, they're actually old songs.
Old songs that he has redone and remastered and obviously put them into the context of a more modern tune.
Yeah, so there's going into that, right? Like into the music and stuff, like just how much planning there was on this. Like it really is like a logistical masterpiece when it comes to like just execution and how much was going on into this, you know, right? I joke that like my life is a logistical nightmare, but this was like crazy great planning. We're like talking about thousands of people that were doing in the production, like how many, you know, like there were no vehicles.
8,000. Oh yeah, yeah. Over 8,000 people involved, 300 plus dancers.
Yeah, because there were no vehicles allowed, and so everything it was just people.
It's just people, like people moving, the plants that were moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Los matojos, as we say in Spanish. There were people moving in. So that it was interesting to see the timing and also, you know, the strategy as to how people move in and out and the whole complex camera choreography for such a global broadcast. And also the fact that it was designed for TV, right? It's very different to design something for when you have a major concert, but here it's very complicated. You have the stadium, so you need to appeal to the people in the stadium, but at the same time, you need to put a show
it has to be good in both fronts, right? Like for the people who are there physically present, but also has to be good for the people who are watching it, you know, and on TV.
Yeah.
Or streaming,
But even more than that, I feel like there were so many cultural allegories and cultural vignettes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that was why I liked it so much. Like, there's just so many things that make me feel and remind me of cultural things, historical issues, you know, like, yeah, we can go on and talk about all of them.
Yeah.
Like the sugar cane, for example, like just starting off with the sugar canes. Probably like the best example, one of the clearest examples about like the colonial history and like all the exploitation that happened, the exploitation that of the sugarcane field, right? First by Spanish and then later on as we moved to the U.S. Like there's a lot. I mean, we can have an entire episode talking about sugarcane.
Yeah, sugarcane production and sugar, the exploitation, right, that came from that, and also, you know, how people use that and a lot of the culture, how the people that worked in the fields actually came out with music and customs to be able to survive that really heavy labor, right? The other thing, one thing that actually really stuck me, like I was so excited to see it, was the utility pole. And I don't know how many people actually got that that cultural allegory, which is not an allegory. This is very direct, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And if you don't speak any Spanish, it's fine. But if you have been watching the news about Puerto Rico and everything that has been going on with the electric grid, that was actually direct.
That's the one I would hope people would remember, because like it's pretty recent, right? Like everything from like Hurricane Maria onward, like it's just been, I mean, even before then, the electric grid on the island was fragile, right? And so like it just tells you about like generally fragility and our problems with infrastructure, aging, decaying infrastructure. And then later on, after the hurricane, we had privatization of that, and then just kind of like the whole mismanagement
Yeah.
Of the electric
and it
grid.
Continues to be in limbo, right? Like, oh, yeah? I don't know how many times I call my parents and we hear, oh, we lost power. Oh, we lost power. Oh, we lost power. Oh, it came back.
And the price gouging that, like, you know, like they, some, a friend of mine told me, like, you should look at the electric bill to look at all the nonsensical things that they're billing.
Yes.
For, like, the poor service. But that just tells you, you know, like, the kinds of things that these people can get away with when you are working with a colony, mm-hmm. you know, which is what Puerto Rico is
yes.
at the end of the day.
And I think that's something that doesn't really talk about issues in Puerto Rico, but in many places in Latin America, I've been hearing from other colleagues that are from other parts of Latin America where they're experiencing the same problems with infrastructure, specifically with power constant power outages. If you think about that and how that impacts health, how that impacts education, right? Because you remember when we were in undergrad, how many times we lost power and, you know, you got to be there ready to study for an exam. Oh, no, there's no power anymore. No internet.
It's gone.
No. Yeah.
You're working on something and then like power is gone or the internet is gone and then you lost it all.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
But even like stemming out of that, something that is definitely a crisis, there were some picturesque, more, I would say, positive aspects of the culture that were also depicted. There's a guy playing on a domino table. There was the piragua vendor, which is basically special drink that we have in Puerto Rico. So to get over the heat because it's hot.
Yeah, those were my favorite when I was a kid. And I think that just kind of, I liked it because both that and the domino table kind of like bring me back to when I was younger and to like a time, I guess, a simpler time, quote unquote, you know, when you see, I guess, this display of enjoyment, like people having their drink being refreshed, but also the domino table, like it's like this kind of going and doing something that's traditional, but also like enjoyed by many people.
Yes. And that's something that stems from decades. If you go to San Juan, you'll see people playing outside dominoes, which is this table game. That's the best way to explain it. And then same thing with the piragua, which is nothing like, it's almost ice. It's just ice with a lot of sugar.
But you know, I talked to a lot of people who don't know.
90 degrees, it's so awesome.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people that don't know what dominoes are for. Like you get like a domino rack and you think that it's actually to like build stuff and like, and you know, like make patterns.
No, you actually, you play with it. It's actually, it's very strategic.
It's a very strategic game. Yeah.
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 I think one of the my favorite moments was the wedding. There was actually a wedding.
Like a real wedding. You could tell that it was real because they were like so happy. I was like, that's an authentic, you can't fake that smile.
Yes. Ultimately, I would say everything that was included there, just the conversation about the demographics, the conversation about the diaspora that you could pretty much get an idea that was part of the message. And I know that many other people in the diaspora that were watching felt connected back home. I would say that the last scene where he tries to unite, he mentions all the countries in Latin America was a beautiful one.
Yeah, I thought that was powerful.
A very powerful message of unity. And I think that's something that we need right now, not only in the arts, not only here in Wisconsin, but everywhere in the United States and around the world.
And I think it's interesting, right? Because I think it also tells you the position that we are now, right? Of like confidence, of power, where we can like raise our heads and make a statement like that. Like, would you be able to, where would people be want to do that? Like, even 10, 15 years ago, I think there'd be a lot more fear to do something like that. And you know, there are reasons why that is the case, right? But it's still a powerful message.
Yeah, powerful message. And to wrap it up, because we're coming to a close, I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is that Bad Bunny, despite the fact that, again, if you don't like the music, one thing that you need to acknowledge is the fact that he didn't change to become famous. He actually used his culture and build his fame and his career around that culture. And that's a message that we all can, you know, take something from.
Yeah. All right.
See ya.
Nueva York!
quieres divertir.
Thank you.